Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. And this is week 5 of Lent and week 5 of our 1st and 2nd Chronicles study. Y'all, we are joined this week by our friend, Christy Anyobuile. She is actually a third-time guest on the podcast. Y'all have loved her, and so have we. Something recent that has come from the efforts and beautiful mind of Christy is a new book called Literarily, How Understanding Bible Genres Transforms Bible Study. She also had a book that released in 2019 called His Testimonies, My Heritage, Women in Color on the Word of God. Y'all, Christy's just fantastic. She's a great guest. Y'all are going to love this episode. We're going to dive deep into some kings of Israel and Judah, and let's get right to it.
Christy, we are so happy to have you back. Welcome.
Hello. It's so good to be back. I love being able to spend time with you ladies and with those who are fans and readers of She Reads Truth.
I was looking back, Christy, at the times that you have visited with us in the past and that we've gotten to pour over scripture together. And it looks like in the summer of 2020, we got to talk about Psalm 119, which is like still a memorable episode for me. Y'all go back and listen to that one. It is fantastic. But also, you joined us in 21 for a convo about Colossians and Philemon, which was a great episode. So this is your three-peat. Like, here you are. And every time you come on, the conversation is so good.
Well, y'all teach me so much. I have to keep coming back so I can learn.
Oh, goodness. That goes, for sure, goes both ways. You're very kind. Well, as you know, we're in the season of Lent as a community, and we are starting week 5 of 7, and we have been walking our way through 1st and 2nd Chronicles for the first time. Christy, this is the first time that we, as a She Reads Truth community, have read these books of the Bible together, which is a big deal because we've been reading the Bible together for 10 years. Which is a long time.
Took us a while to get here, but here we are.
Yeah.
And like, man, like, I'm so glad that we're here right now.
Yeah.
Listen, well, you're ahead of a lot of still Bible readers because, you know, like, this is the area of scripture that people tend to shy away from a little bit. It's a little confusing, sounds a little repetitive. You got all these kings and you got these kingdoms and everything's confused. You know, we're here. And I think for a lot of people, this is probably their first time going through these books of the Bible. So it's fun.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons that you are such a wonderful guest is that you are a longtime student of Scripture, and you love God's Word, and you love to read God's Word, and that makes us kindred spirits, right? So we have, we hit it off right off the bat. But you also, you help others understand how to read and study Scripture, and you had a book that came out last year called Literarily, which, no, wait.
You had it right. I was going to say
it right.
Did I say it right?
Yes. I know.
Literarily. Yeah. But on understanding Bible genres transforms our Bible study.
Yeah.
So when you, through that lens, approach 1st and 2nd Chronicles, help us and our listeners remember what genre we're in and what it is about this specific genre that helps us understand who God is.
Yeah, no, that's good. Thank you for asking that question. It's one of my faves. Yeah, this, like so much of scripture. Yeah, this section that we're in now really is a part of the history of the people of Israel, the history of Judah and Israel. You hear pastors and Bible teachers talk about the divided kingdom. Well, these books are where it all starts and where you really get to see the history of Israel and Judah unfold. You see the faithfulness of some of God's people, but by and large, in this section, you just see over and over again, this king did evil in the sight of the Lord. This king did evil in the sight of the Lord. This king started off pretty good, but then he decided to go his own way. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And this repeated refrain is something important to remember as we're studying this particular section. So it's history. It is narrative, meaning that it's full of stories, not fairy tale stories, yeah. but it's called historical narrative. So it's stories in the Bible that are also true lived history of God's people.
Yes.
And so one of the things to think about as we are reading through history and reading through narratives is how is this story being carried along? And one of the ways that the stories, at least in this week, are carried along is through these biographical profiles of various kings and their rule and the movement of their reign, how they started, how they finished, how is it like or unlike the king before and the king that's coming after. So those are some of the things you want to mm-hmm. pay attention to. And I hope that's helpful, but that's what I did. And I found it really, really interesting looking in these chapters for this week.
Yeah.
I want you to come and guest introduce every genre of before we begin.
I would love to. That would be so fun.
Just move on down to Tennessee for us, Christy. Yeah. That's what we
need. Easy peasy. My daughter lives in Tennessee,
that.
So that would be fun.
There you go. Okay. So you just taught us not just how to read this genre of scripture broadly, but like even specifically story by story. So can we start with King Jehoshaphat?
Sure.
And that is going to be like the first 2 days of this week's reading.
Yeah.
It covers kind of four chapters plus one verse. Mm-hmm. Even like the way that like first intro paragraph reads about Jehoshaphat, yeah. like tee us up for him and
yeah.
his story.
Well, oh gosh, where do we begin? Honestly, you kind of have to go
right.
back to the week before, right? You have to go back. 2 Chronicles 10 is really the setup for what we're seeing in this week's lesson. And you'll find that on day 25 of week 4. And so as we read through 2 Chronicles 10, what we're going to find is there's this rift. There's this rift between mm-hmm. these two guys, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And this rift came about because Jeroboam, he said to Rehoboam, so Rehoboam was kind of in line after Solomon had passed away. And then this is kind of where we're going to see, yeah, these two kingdoms and how they develop. So Rehoboam is in line, but then Jeroboam, and he's setting himself up as king. And then Jeroboam comes in and he's like, hey, your dad kind of made our yoke harsh. And so therefore lighten your father's harsh service and the heavy yoke he put on us and we will serve you. So then Rehoboam decided to ask his advisors, how should I respond to the people? And the people are like, hey, you know what? If you're kind, then they're going to be your servants forever. And instead of him listening, instead of Rehoboam listening to them, he rejected their advice and he consulted with the young boys and his buddies that he'd grown up with. And they were like, you're tripping. Like, why are you going to lighten their load? You need to make it even heavier. Okay. So we did that last week. So
that's
don't
right.
go back over. But we have
exercise
to go back
your
to
power.
That. Right. Yes.
I loved the line where they were like, your pinky is thicker than your dad's waist.
I know.
Like
I mean,
prove your power.
Listen, they were trying to
boys,
flex.
You guys.
Boys.
They were really trying to flex. And so at the end of the day, they end up Rehoboam and Jeroboam, you know, fighting against each other. And then you'll see that in 2 Chronicles 11, this is still on day 25, 2 Chronicles 11, verse 13, the priests and Levites, they all stand with Rehoboam, and Jeroboam basically had decided, y'all not going to serve me. So he set up his own priests. They set up high places. They did everything they were not supposed to do. Okay, so now what we have is these two kingdoms. We have... Mm-hmm. The people who decide to follow in the line of Judah, and then you have the people who are following in line with the kingdom of Israel. So these are the two kingdoms that are set up. The southern kingdom is Judah. The northern kingdom is Israel. And what you see played over and over again is kind of this dynamic between, you know, who was reigning in Israel and who was reigning in Judah. So in this section that we're in now, we've had a couple of kings already who have come through. So we have Rehoboam. He was the king of Judah. He got the Levites and the priests to kind of come with him. He abandoned the Lord, and I think he ruled for like 70 years. Then you got Abijah. He comes in next. He depends on the Lord, the Bible says, and he didn't abandon the Lord, and he only reigned for 3 years. Then you have Asa, had a long reign, 41 years. I wish we could talk about him some more. He sought the Lord, but he did make a treaty sort of towards the end of his life with Aram, and then he stopped seeking the Lord towards the end. It was kind of sad. Like, you're like, okay, boy, you know, you're doing good. He really was seeking the Lord. He was depending on the Lord. He was calling the people to do the same. And then because of power and because of just independence, living outside of asking for the Lord's help, his reign kind of ends a little bit sad. So now we have King Jehoshaphat, and he becomes king. And in our section here on day 29 of week 5, it says that he strengthened himself against Israel. And at this time, he really is depending upon the Lord. It says that he walked in the ways of David. He sought the Lord. He walked by God's command. And the Lord in his kindness established the kingdom in his hand and gave them peace for a good season of his reign. So in order to root ourselves in this week, we have to go back and compare these new kings that we're going to read about to the ones who came before. And what is it that we want to look for, right? Like, we want to look for who was faithful, who was calling upon the Lord, who was depending upon the Lord. And if they were not, what were the consequences? What was God calling his people to, and how did God's people respond? And so that, I think, sets us up really well for this particular week. And Jehoshaphat is a really key player in this. And so I'm excited to talk about him some more.
I love that setup. And I think that's so helpful. And even, Christy, that you just said, like, let's pay attention to who's walking with the Lord, who isn't. But I think it's even like helpful. It helped me as I was reading this to be able to see sort of the description of what it meant to walk with the Lord. And we'll get to see that over the coming 5 days, because like sometimes it's like, I can't quite tell if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but then you kind of do get like a, like, actually, and that was good. And God blessed that. And you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. Or, and that was not. And in these weeks and in these two books that we've been reading, there's been a lot of like, wait, so David did a census, but that was wrong. Help us understand why.
Exactly.
And that was really helpful to understand. Yeah. And again, you know, even, you know, you go back to like week two, right at the beginning of First Chronicles, and we read that story that blew our mind at the time of Uzzah, like, reaching out to catch the falling Ark of the Covenant. Right. And at the time, we were like, what? And
like,
help us understand.
Right.
He was just...
Yeah.
But then as we're reading this, and like, it's like you said, Christy, like, the context is everything.
Yes.
Because now we can look back at that and go, what a foreshadowing of what is to come for Judah and Israel. Because if the main downfall of any one of these kings is that they weren't walking with the Lord and they weren't following his commands, those were the two things that were also happening when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true. So I think that is a really good point you're making there, because if we go back to thinking about genre again, I think that the way we see how our Bibles are organized today really helps us to see the movement of God throughout redemptive history and what he was trying to do. So, for example, and I say this all the time, we're looking at like how the genres work. It, when you see the first 5 books of the Bible, it's the Pentateuch, and that's God's law, God's instruction, what he was commanding and instructing his people to do, how he created all things for his glory. And he's just setting forth Torah, which means instruction, teaching, law. He's setting that forth. And then throughout the whole rest of scripture, you're kind of seeing how God's people respond to his instructions.
Yeah.
And so the next set of books right after the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books, is history. And history is just that. It's the lived experience of God's people under his instruction. I'm doing air quotes because they didn't always follow God's instructions, right?
Yeah.
And so what's important as it relates to genre and this particular one is, how are God's people responding to his instruction? And so that's another thing to really look for. What was God calling them to do? Oh, he said, seek me, seek my face, obey my commands, listen to my words, do the things that I've asked you to do. And then we're seeing throughout these historical books how God's people are responding to those things. Yeah. So, yeah. And so what I love about even this opening day is the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, this is verse 3, because he walked in the former ways of his ancestor David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, walked by his command, not according to the practice of Israel. And so the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. Another thing I really, really love, like we could, these verses are so beautiful, some of them. Verse 6, he took great pride in the Lord's ways. Dang, I need to like plaster that on like my computer screen or on my wall or over my mirror. He took great pride in the Lord's ways and how easy it is for us to go our own way, how easy it is for even these kings that we're reading about to go their own way rather than taking pride in the Lord's ways, and how easy it is to lose that focus and kind of get off track a little bit. And then next thing you know, you're like way on the other side of the highway. Right. And so anyway, that I think is just, again, a part of the contextual piece of the puzzle that we want to have included in this discussion.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah.
Something that we're going to see a lot this week is this phrase, like the high places. And I mean, as we were reading, preparing for this, like even here in verse 6, like you referenced, it says he took great pride in the Lord's ways and he again removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. And I'm like, well, what's the wrong with the high place? Like, help me understand, what is a high place?
And it's so interesting because the high places go up and they come down. They go up, like one king will put them back up and then one king will tear them down. And what we see here with Jehoshaphat is that he is restoring a proper worship of God.
That's right.
And so there's, and that's a theme that especially like this week and next that we keep seeing of like, it reveals the heart of the king in a lot of ways. And that emphasis on the heart that we've seen since the beginning of these books of the Bible with David and Solomon. But do you, if we said pop quiz, Christy, give us a definition of the high places.
Because I genuinely don't know. So I'm like, it's not like because I know, but I want to know if you know.
Well, the high places are basically those places where the nations around them who were not following the Lord were basically idol worshipers. And so the high places were the places where they went to worship their idols. So we've even read about the Asherah poles and the Baals. These are all like the false gods, the false prophets. And so these high places are places set up in worship of false gods, where the people are being, you know, y'all have seen VeggieTales and like we read about like, about the bunny, you know, where
King Nebuchadnezzar,
So it's kind of like, you know, that's the picture that I have in my head, right? Like people are setting up this false god, and it is ridiculous. And you know, in all seriousness of that, like it is ridiculous for people who have known God, who God has personally come down in fire and cloud and led them through the desert, led them to, you know, out of captivity into the land of promise. They know who he is. They know what he has done. They have rehearsed the words of God over and over again over their lives as a nation. And yet they find themselves turning to these ridiculous, worthless idols. And we can say, that was crazy. Like, how could they do such a thing? But are we not very, very similar in terms of how easily we can forget God's word and we can turn to something less than God and follow it?
Absolutely.
And so it's not removed from our experience here today. Even though, you know, for us, it's like, oh my gosh, look at them. How could they follow, you know, these idols?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even reading about the kings who lived these whole lives, like in honor of the God of Israel, like in honor of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, you know, we'll read later this week about, I think it's Joash, and the priest at the time is Jehoiada, and everything is going great. And then Jehoiada, the priest, dies, and then everything does not go
great.
That's true.
But then we could live our whole lives in service of the Lord and still, like, be susceptible to
broken.
I grieve our brokenness and how susceptible we are to ourselves.
Yeah. And I mean, what we're describing, you all, this is what we do in part during Lent, right? Is we are reflecting on our sinfulness, our need for a savior, which if we need a savior, that implies that we need saving from something, right? Yeah. We need saving sin, from death, from ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was praying on the way here this morning to meet with you guys of how easy it is or how prone I am to either turn towards a false god or put something in place of God, like put my trust in something instead of God, or to worship God with the wrong motives or in a wrong way. Like we're very prone to getting this wrong. Mm-hmm. And what we see is it's not just Judah, we're zoomed in on Judah, but it was also Israel. Like no one was getting this exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The only party who was holding up their covenant was the Lord.
Yeah.
And his faithfulness. And it moved me to tears of just like, that the Lord is wholly just and is wholly powerful and sovereign and is love and is mercy and that his compassion toward us of like drawing us back. And as we're going to keep making our way, you know, to Holy Week and eventually to the cross and the empty tomb, that what we see in the Old Testament is God continuing to invite and draw his people back. And then we also know from where we sit in history that he provided the ultimate, irrevocable way for us to come back to him in Jesus. And so you're right. I mean, Christy, I have compassion for, I mean, there are some kings in here that do unthinkable acts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unthinkable.
Yeah.
It's interesting to like think about that. We might be tempted to think of the Old Testament as irrelevant, but... So we're deep in Second Chronicles right now. And what you're saying about it, Amanda, is just like if it's the only person who held up their end of the covenant is Yahweh, well, what's true in 2023?
Yeah.
Like in my relationship with the Lord, I will tell you, in our covenant, who's holding up their end of the covenant?
Yeah.
It is Yahweh. Yeah. And his retaining of his covenant with me is enough to cover where I fall deeply short.
Yeah.
And that is
Thank
Lent,
you, Lord.
And that is beautiful.
Amen. And he is the only one who can hold up the covenant. And so it's interesting that as we read over and over again, I kept thinking like, man, how are the people, because you see a lot about how the kings are ruling for good or for ill, and then the people's responses. And it's just like, I don't know. I think as I read it, I was like, man, the people are kind of fickle. They're just like, okay, if you send them high places, we're going to send them high places. You know, if you worship in us, we're going to worship in us. And then they're like, oh, but then the king led them back to worship. Okay, if that's what we're doing, we're going to worship the Lord. You know, and they just seem like, they weren't rooted.
Point.
They weren't grounded. They weren't it was like they were kind of responding to the king and whether his rule was for good or for ill. And so what gave me pause when I was saying that is like, we are supposed to follow the king, just not these earthly ones because and it just also reminded me too, is like, when we're thinking about Lent and we're thinking about Christ and his death and his death for our sin, and you think about his final words, right? Like, it is finished. And you look at these kings, and over again, so many of them did not finish well, right? You see, you know, they start, maybe some of them start off okay, and then they just like, I don't know, your heart kind of sinks for how they finish. But Jesus finished all of what the Father sent him to do. He finished well, and he obeyed perfectly all the law of God. So as we're reading these histories and we're like, man, how are God's people responding to his instructions? Well, we know how Jesus responded. He responded in full obedience. He responded in sacrificial love. He responded in not reviling those who reviled him. And I think for me, that's one of the things I really want to lean into in this Lenten season is, you know, as I'm getting older, you know, people think, oh, you've been walking with the Lord for so long. And I think as we get older, we can kind of begin to coast as well. But there's something really powerful about leaning into the Lord even more so that we, as the people of God, might also finish well, doing all of what God has called us to do in this fallen body that we have, but with the fullness of the Spirit in us. This week is teaching me about prayerfully seeking the Lord so that I might finish well.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I love that you pointed out, like, that Jesus saying it is finished on the cross. It wasn't saying, like, my time on the cross is finished. And he wasn't even saying my time on earth is finished. Like, he was saying this plan of rescue that started at the beginning of time, it is like this plan that has been in action from the beginning is finished. Like, it is, you are rescued. Hey friends, interrupting this fantastic chat with Christy to remind you that it is the first week of spring. And because of that, we are doing some spring cleaning around here and we want y'all to benefit. So we are having a Spring is Here sale. You can get 15% off site-wide and free shipping on any order over $75. That's what we're doing this week, today through Thursday. And you'll use code SPRING15, that is SPRING15. Again, it is 15% off site-wide and free shipping on orders over $75. Now, here's what I want to tell you. We are currently in the middle of our Lent series. We are deep in 2 Chronicles right now. But before you know it, we are going to finish 2 Chronicles. We are going to move on to Holy Week. And then after that, we will start a new series. And y'all, if you haven't heard yet, our new series is called, get this, A Living Hope, A Biblical Study of Resurrected Life in Christ. Yes, when we finish our Lent series with Resurrection Sunday, we don't have to just wonder what happens next. We actually get to respond to that in the book that follows with what does it mean to live in light of Christ's resurrection. So y'all are going to want this book. And the reason I tell you that is because this code applies to that book. So go to shopsheetreadstruth.com/podcast172. Now I'm saying podcast 172 because it helps us know where you're coming from and how you're hearing the great news of a good sale. So if you go to shopsheetreadstruth.com/podcast172, we'll know that you heard it from me here. But head that way and use code SPRING15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order plus free shipping. Get that book, A Living Hope. And y'all, that's all you need to know. Let's get back to the episode.
We find a really beautiful example of what it means to seek after the Lord in Jehoshaphat's story. It's in our Tuesday reading. Mm-hmm. There's a time when the Moabites, the Ammonites, this is 2 Chronicles 20, the Moabites, the Ammonites, together with some of the Munites, maybe? But they form an alliance to come against Jehoshaphat. Yeah. And their number is vast, the scripture tells us. And in verse 3, it says, Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
They proclaimed a fast for Judah. They gathered to seek the Lord. And then there is this beautiful prayer.
Yes, yes, yes.
And not just beautiful, like part of what's beautiful about it to me is the honesty in it. There's a relationship here between this king and the Lord, because he says things like, are you not our God?
Yes.
Who did this in our history?
Yeah.
And then, like, if disaster comes, listen to this, you guys, verse 9. This is in the middle of that prayer. So he's kind of like looking back at their history and saying, like, quoting themselves to the Lord and saying, if disaster comes on us, sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and before you, for your name is in this temple. We will cry out to you because of our distress, and you will hear and deliver. Yeah. What does that sound like?
Yes.
Solomon's prayer back in chapter 6.
That's right.
Yeah. Where he was saying, like, if we call out to you, you will hear. And God confirms to Solomon, I will hear.
Yeah. Amen. Yes. Yeah. And, like, you just keep reading this section in verse 12, where he mm-hmm. says, oh God, would you not judge them? For we're powerless before this vast number that comes to fight against us. We do not know what to do, but we look to you. Star, underline, bold.
I love
bold,
that so much.
Highlight that. When
That's
we do
right.
not know what to do, but we look to you.
That's right.
And then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them and he encourages them, right? By letting them know that he is, like you said, he is with
yes.
them. Yeah. The other thing I love while we're on this day is when they, you know, the Lord had sent Jahaziel, right, to speak to them and, you know, to tell them, don't be afraid, it's not yours, but it's the Lord's. He says, you do not have to fight this battle. Okay, anyway, we could go on there, but what I really...
Just stand
so
still.
Good.
He said, he's like, listen, you do not have to fight this
Y'all
battle.
Y'all are going to love reading this
Position
day.
Yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. So then they gather up, then the Levites come out, and what do? They begin to worship the Lord.
They worship.
Like, even before they go out to battle, even before, it's
That's
like
right.
they believe him. They believe the priests of the Lord. They believe
yes.
the prophet, that Levite that came to them, and they believe God's word that he will fight the battle for them. And so they start praising in advance.
Yes.
And so it's interesting to see
yes.
how faith leads to praise, how our trust and belief
yes.
in God and his word, you know, as the old folks say in the churches where I come from, praise him anyhow, right? Like in the midst
That's
of
exactly
what
right.
to be a trying situation, you really don't know what to do.
That's right.
You don't know what's about to come.
Yep.
You do know God and his word. Like, go ahead and praise him anyhow for what you know God
That's
can
right.
and will do, right?
That's right.
So good.
Yeah, and Jehoshaphat prioritized praise.
He
it says
did.
In verse 21,
yeah.
he consulted with the people and appointed some
yes.
to sing for the Lord and some to sing for the splendor of his holiness.
Yeah.
And so they went out in front of the armed forces. I mean,
and
imagine that.
And says,
in front of the people
singing.
With,
yes.
And they kept singing.
And what did they sing?
You ever seen somebody fight with worship?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. And it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Give
yes.
thanks to the Lord for his faithful love endures forever. Yeah. And then you guys, I kind of don't want to keep reading because I want you to just go experience this. But verse 22, the moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir who came to fight against Judah, and they were defeated. And what had the Lord just said? He had just said, you don't have to fight
That's
this
right.
battle. Because in there he did.
And
he did it.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it, you know, I don't want to damper the spirit because this is so good, but I just find for me anyway that there's this temptation to go before the Lord, you know, and to be like, this thing is getting tense. You see the army, like you can be tempted to just like, let me go ahead and respond because I'm scared or because, you know,
I've got to do something.
What I see in front of me, right? I got to do something.
That's
and
right.
so
That's
to
right.
see that kind of patient resistance and patient hope and just waiting on the Lord and trusting in him, it really builds my faith to see that and to see that if I just wait on the Lord and trust him, he will do what he says. You know, God is able to do all that he says he will do. You know, he's able.
That's right.
You know, and
Amen.
Yes, so I love that.
And in contrast, I mean, going back to today's reading, like to Monday's reading, y'all listening will get to read the story. And so we're not going to like fully spoil that for you. But the contrast is Jehoshaphat and Ahab together going like, well, should we do this? And Jehoshaphat's like, well, make sure you seek the Lord on this first.
Yeah.
And Ahab's like, yeah, all my prophets. So he's seeking not the Lord,
right.
but the people,
right.
his yes men.
Yeah.
And he's just continuing to go like, I just want to make sure that the people who will tell me what I want to hear will tell me what I want to hear. And you'll read what happens in that story.
Yeah.
And that's the contrast to Jehoshaphat's victory where he won't go without the Lord.
Good.
And then he will stand still and rely on the Lord. And it is such a different story. And just again, how relevant is this scripture this week?
That's good.
Yeah.
And there's some like funny moments in there too. So you have this story of this prophet of the Lord named Micaiah who comes in. And poor Micaiah, homeboy is scared out of his mind. He's like, listen, I don't know how I got to be here in this place between y'all. And, you know, you know, he is called on by Jehoshaphat to kind of give a prophecy of the Lord, because the king of Aram, Micaiah, comes in and he's asked to give a prophecy as a person who is a prophet of the Lord, in contrast to these prophets, you know, who were just yes men, basically. And so he comes in to give a prophecy, and Jehoshaphat is trusting him to give God's word to the people. And should we go up, you know, should we go together and fight? Should we band together and fight against these people? And he's like, you know, I think y'all should just go ahead and, you know, they're going to be handed over to you. And I love Jehoshaphat, because he was like, he sounded like a parent scolding a child. And he was like, how many times do I have to tell you to swear not to tell me anything but the truth in the name of the Lord? It's like he knew. Like, bro, I don't know. I don't know if you're telling me the truth right now, but how many times do I have to tell you to tell the truth? And then he's like, okay, well, actually, what I saw is your destruction, so I don't think you should go. You know?
And then Ahab turns to Jehoshaphat and says, didn't I tell you he never prophesies good about me?
I mean, told you. Yes.
That's why I didn't want to ask him in the first place.
Exactly, exactly. But man, and then y'all, you have to read this section, like the king, when you see, even when they decided to band together and to go up to Ramoth Gilead. And then Ahab threw a boy up under the bed. I ain't gonna tell y'all how it happened, but y'all gotta read. Somebody got thrown under a bus. And so you have to go back and read it for yourself to find out what happened. Uh-huh. But listen, there's drama. There is, you know,
there's no lack of drama.
There's no lack of drama. There are a couple of little funny moments in here. But I think one of those lessons to learn, you know, like I said, is just kind of, okay, how are these kings finishing? How are the people responding to God? And how is God's plan being moved forward despite how the people, despite the fact that God's people continuing to be fickle in that. And so even the midst of that, God's plan is still moving forward.
He's keeping his covenant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the days it talks about how God was sparing the people because he was keeping his covenant and because he had sworn to preserve the house of Judah, you know? And so even you see these glimpses of God's plan continuing to go forward.
That's right.
Friends listening, if you are wondering if you are going to make it, if you are going to make the time in your mornings or in your afternoons to read with us this week, I really, really hope you do. Mm-hmm. And my advice, because these are like longer, a little bit harder days to read, my advice is to do it every day and not let it build up and try and catch up, because I think that's where you'll start to feel overwhelmed. So if you just keep that pace every day, that's going to be your win. First 2 days of this week are these stories about Jehoshaphat. I think that you're going to actually find them to be really powerful and also a little entertaining. But then coming from that, like, you're going to get to read the story about Jehoram and Ahaziah. Mm-hmm. There's this line where they say he died to no one's regret.
Yes, I was going to. I wanted to talk about that. Oh my gosh. Yes, go ahead.
I know. Yes. I know. There's just
so much. There's the one and only ruling queen in Judah's history. We'll read about her.
That's you're also going to notice that as the kings get introduced, so do their mamas. Mm-hmm. Like, which is an interesting little detail, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in like a,
These mamas can be kind of rough.
Yeah.
Rough.
Even the mamas.
Rough.
And then you will read about Amaziah, I think his name is, and Uzziah, and that's on Friday. It's kind of, if you think of it in bite-sized, that's right, in these bite-sized pieces, like a couple of stories per day, make your way through. Christy, I wish that we had more time to keep talking about all of these.
I wish we did too. Yes. But you know what? Everybody's going to, you are going to really, I don't want to say enjoy, you're going to really appreciate this week. There's so much history in it. And just take your time. And I will even say this other thing. If you're finding, oh man, these kings are all getting me confused and I don't know who's doing what, I like to make myself a little chart. And you can even kind of start off by read the beginning of the chapter and the end. The beginning tells you who reigned before, who's coming in, how long he reigned. And then the end of it tells you basically how they died, how their reign ended. I think
exactly.
Even if you start off just reading the beginning and the end, getting those bookends together,
yeah.
It'll give you a little sneak peek and preview of what's to come. And these finishes,
that's right, they're kind of formatted the same.
They are kind of formatted the same. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the thing, what the Lord, I feel like, is leading me to end with on today is kind of goes back to the verse that you mentioned about Jehoram. And that's on day 31, where it says that, I think it's 2 Chronicles 21, verse 20, he died to no one's regret and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. And think about Jesus. Think about Lent. We don't want to have the posture that leaves Jesus' death in our hearts and minds as one in which we have no connection to, right? Like Jesus died, and on one hand, we could say, like, in his time, you know, it was not to many people's regret, if you know what I'm saying. You know, like, a lot of people did not regret Jesus' death. And on the one hand, we can say, gosh, like, that's hard. But as believers, we know that it is because of Jesus' death that we have the forgiveness of sins. So we don't want to take the posture of not considering, not meditating on, not thinking about Jesus' life and his death that purchased salvation for us. Because without the cross, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so we, in this Lenten season, need to be meditating on Jesus' death and what it means to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I would encourage you to meditate on what it means that Jesus died for your sins, that Jesus lived a perfectly obedient life to the Father. He did all that God called him to do, and then he died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And what does it mean to have your sins forgiven and to live forever with him?
Yeah.
I would encourage you to meditate on that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that, Christy. That is so good and right for this season, and not just this season, right? Mm-hmm. But our lives as believers to not become so detached from that reality, because that too is history, right?
Yeah.
Like that happened.
Yeah. And we don't regret Jesus's death. We need it. We have to have it, right? And so, that's so
we
good.
We regret our sin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah,
that's a good,
the mic dropped.
Yeah.
We're done.
Well, Christy, you, as always, are a complete delight, and I really love to read scripture with you. I always learn. I always smile and laugh and also feel challenged and hopeful. And I'm just, thank you. Thank you for walking with us through the first couple of days of this week and really setting us up. Like, I want to go back and reread now with the community, because you've done such a good job of getting us started.
Thank you so much for having me. It is a delight. I love digging into God's word with you all. And we'll be praying that the Lord meets us as we meet with him.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, you all keep going, keep reading, take your friends Rachel and Christy's advice about how to walk through this week.
Yeah.
And then join us back here next week. We'll have our friend and a mentor of ours, Dr. George Grant, on with us, and we are going to
conclude
the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles next week as we get ready to then walk through Holy Week.
Mm-hmm. And Corey Robertson is joining us for Holy Week, which will be sweet. I'm excited to get to do that with her. You have a great week of reading ahead. If we have not encouraged you enough to open your Bibles this week, be women and men in the Word of God every day this week, let us just say it again. Be readers. In fact, Christy, we happen to have a saying at the end of every episode. Until next week, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles.